Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today touching on a theme we've been talking about all week long, which is receiving from Jesus an understanding of what's truly valuable, how we measure success and fulfillment in this world, and just reflecting a little bit on the lives of some of those we're honoring in this week. For example, John the Baptist at the beginning of the week. We'll talk today about St. Peter, because at the end of the week, there's a solemnity, a high celebration of the lives of St. Peter and Paul. Of course, we've been talking about Our Lady, all whom are disciples, followers of Jesus, all who are models for us of what it means to respond to Jesus and what can happen in a human being that takes Jesus at his word and repents and turns to him and is converted and lives under the direction and the grace of the Holy Spirit. The transformation is almost limitless what can possibly happen. And for those who hunger and thirst, and Jesus kind of turns the world's standard of measurement of success and what's worth going after with everything you got, so to speak, and going all in on. Jesus gives us an understanding in the Beatitudes, in different places in the whole Sermon on the Mount, really, about what is truly valuable, what the kingdom of God looks like, and what God's eternal kingdom is characterized by. And the Beatitudes sum it up beautifully. It's the heart, the sentiments, the life, the person of Jesus is expressed there in the amazing way in which Jesus speaks about what's valuable. And of course, Jesus honors and rewards those who walk in what he values. When we live a life that says yes to him, just as he was crowned the King of Glory at the right hand of the Father, being conformed fully to the Father's will and purpose, we too will be crowned. Jesus talks a lot about rewards. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's not just cool. That's a trivial way to put it, I guess. It's amazing to think about the fact that the God of the universe speaks to us about rewards that we will have, eternal rewards that we'll have if we walk in his footsteps and we conform ourselves to his image and to be things like, to be the kind of person that Jesus describes in the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? Those who really bring right order into relationships and help people come into right relationship and right order with God and stand against violence and the rest. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for holiness. Blessed are those who live a life in such a way that it's so clearly a life in the Lord that they're persecuted for it. Because never forget that the more we're like Christ, the more we're conformed to Jesus in this world and living out his plan and purpose for us in a world that's hostile to him, the more isolated or rejected or reviled we're going to be. And Jesus said, happy are you if that happens to you. You are blessed. You're really blessed. So you can see what Jesus truly values, where the gold is. And so today I want to just read a little bit from St. Peter's second letter, just to honor St. Peter and to remember the heart that he had and what were the priorities that he spoke about, some of the priorities and the ways in which he longed to communicate to those whom he loved, to those he was evangelizing, raising up in the communities he was building, to communicate and to pass on to them what he'd received from Jesus. So let's start in verse number 3 here, chapter 2. It says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That's partway through the sentence. That's a mouthful. So Peter's beginning with the most important starting point, which is, what has God done for us? What is God's revelation all about? What is he trying to accomplish in us? Again, Peter said, it's by his divine power. The whole of the Christian life is a new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a life led by the power of God and are yielding to the power of God. He's granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not only life and godliness here on earth, but eternal life. He has the power to give, as Jesus said, eternal life to anyone who asks, and a power to become like God, to overcome the habit patterns of sin that dominate us, and to make us a new creation. That's just so amazing. Then he goes on to say, through the knowledge of him who called us. Where does it come from? How do we touch that power? And how do we come into that life in godliness? He says, through the knowledge of him, called us through the knowledge of Jesus. That's why St. Paul says, echoing his brother Peter. What do I want to know in this world? I want to know Christ. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship in his suffering. So Paul became pure of heart. Peter was pure of heart and single-minded on the Lord. He was living for one thing, and that is for the Lord himself. He goes on to say, he's the one who called us to this glory and excellence. So what's your destiny? What are you called to? You're called to glory. You're called to share in the glory of God that we see in the resurrected, glorified humanity of Jesus, what we see in Our Lady and in the saints. You're called to that excellence and glory. I mean, that's why we have a desire for something greater than this world can give us. That's why we have a desire for excellence in someone, whatever we do. It's all reflecting what we're made for, because God is excellent. God is good. God is great. God is awesome. God is loving and beautiful. All of that. We're being drawn into that and into a way of life that expresses it in all the dimensions of our life. And he goes on to say, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Do you consider the promises of Jesus precious and great? Do you possess those? Do you hold on to them? These are great things. These are precious things. Remember the contrast I've been making all week, the values the world serves up to us, which people cling to desperately. And many times they contradict the values of the kingdom of God and what's most important. Think of the promises of Jesus. Who's going to inherit the kingdom? Who's going to inherit the earth? Who's going to be comforted? Who's going to be filled ultimately? Who's going to be crowned? Who's going to be rewarded with eternal life and sharing in the glory of God? It's not the power brokers and the ego-driven and the powerful and the rich and the rest. It's something very different, which I've been talking about all week long. And so Peter sees how precious and great these promises are. He said that through these, you may escape from the corruption that's in the world because of passion. So he's clear, and he's helping us understand the precious gift we've been given. And if we pay attention to the promises of Christ, that, you know, all those who believe in him, who love him and obey him, repent, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He wants to do greater things in us, in our lives, even than happened in his day. He wants to communicate his kingdom through us. He wants to dwell in us as in a temple. He wants to fill us with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There's just so much we can say. There's so many promises that the Lord gives to us. Peter says these are precious, and they're given to us that if we internalize them, we say yes to them, it'll help us escape the corruption of the world. What's the corruption of the world? Well, the world is corrupted because the powers that reign in this world are set against the Lord and against his anointed. They're set against the will of God. They're corrupt. They're not rightly ordered toward their purpose. And there's powers at work undermining the will of God and leading humanity in seducing humanity into believing lies and having counterfeit gods and idols that form our identity. So Peter said, you need to escape it. He preached that in, you know, on the day of Pentecost, escape this corrupt generation. He was very much aware of it. And what does it come from? It comes from the passions of the flesh, the unruly passions of the flesh that dominate us. And he said, instead become partakers of the divine nature. There's your destiny. It just burns in Peter's heart, and he loves to teach it. And then he exhorts us. He goes on to say, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. He said, for if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus expects us to bear fruit. He said, if you abide in me, you're going to bear fruit. Our life is going to be, in the end, what Jesus is going to measure about our lives is, what's the fruit of the life that you've lived? Did you make every effort to supplement faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love, which crowns everything, which is the heart of everything. The divine love that Jesus revealed to us, that's now we're made capable of saying yes to and walking in by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "For if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful." Are you effective? Are you fruitful in the life of the kingdom? Are these things present in your life? The Holy Spirit wants to lead you, if not to conviction, to convict you, to convict me, so that we turn to him and we surrender to him and say, "Be it done unto me according to thy word. I want to be everything you've called me to be." He says, "So whoever lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." Have you forgotten that? That you've been cleansed in baptism, that you've been made a new creation, that you're called now to the heights and the grace is here for you literally to come to the place where you become partakers of the divine nature. He said, "Therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call in election," your call in election. Are you zealous or are you lethargic? Are you slothful or is your heart on fire? Are you in love with Jesus Christ? Are you radically pursuing the things that Peter has both modeled for us and that he's calling us to? He said, "For if you do this, you'll never fall. So there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's a good friend there, Peter. He's telling us, how can I find my way home? How can I reach the heights of what I'm called to? How can I enter the eternal kingdom of God? What must I do? So Peter's teaching it day after day, and he's living it. And he says later in verse 16, it's very beautiful. He describes again who Jesus is and how he encountered him. He said, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter made known to his disciples the power of God through the working of signs and wonders, through testifying what they saw in Jesus himself, and they passed on to them everything Jesus taught them. He says, "But we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased,' we heard this voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word made more sure." So Peter's describing when he and James and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, they literally heard the voice of God the Father. It was a literal audible voice declaring, "This is my beloved Son, and the majesty and the glory of Jesus was revealed." And he said, "And we have this prophetic word made more sure. You will do well to pay attention to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one man's interpretation, because no prophecy can ever come by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit who spoke from God. So Peter's talking about the prophetic word that he received, that he was passing on. It was a word from God, a living word that Peter dedicated his whole life to. Jesus truly is the beloved Son of God. And Peter's saying, let's go after him. Seek him, hunger, thirst. He wants to bear fruit in your life and lead you to become a partaker of the divine nature. Thank you, St. Peter. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks very candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. It's an inspiring booklet I think you will be encouraged and strengthened by. If you'd like it, you could call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE, or you can subscribe to our podcast.